This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran. The stories that leads the show are Southwest Airlines protested airworthiness checks. A LA councilman wants to sue Waze. Beware of a Facebook login hack. And is the Mac operating system and iOS going to be combined? I want to welcome you to episode 1275 of the Geek News Central podcast for Thursday, April 19th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. Support the show today at GeekNewsCentral.com/insider or simply PayPal.me/GeekNews. You can pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. Hey, I want to give a warm welcome to all the new listeners of the show. Thank you for being here. This is an audio-only podcast today. I've got 2 weeks left on the East Coast, so only audio. So if you're looking for the video, there is no video here in a hotel room in Washington, D.C. Of course, for those of you that are longtime listeners of the show, thank you for being here. Thank you for staying subscribed and being part of the Ohana. Of course, we want every brand new listener and existing listener to visit geeknewscentral.com. Make sure you're subscribed to the show and, of course, the newsletter. You can find information that on the website. You can visit geeknewscentral.com daily to read all the great content being produced by my great team of writers at geeknewscentral.com. And when I am back in Honolulu and on live, you can watch the show live.geeknewscentral.com. If you have email on today's show, drop me an email, geeknews@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter @geeknews. Send an email to me to join our Slack channel. Our Slack channel contains everything really that we just want to talk about offline. So definitely get a chance, join the Slack channel and hang out with the cool kids. You can follow me on Google Plus or Facebook. Of course, you can watch this show on the Roku via the Tech Podcast channel or on an Apple TV via searching for Geek News Central. You can listen on the Amazon Echo, on a Google Home device, on a Microsoft Cortana device, just by telling those devices to play the podcast or play Geek News Central. And that'll get picked right up immediately. Of course, you can listen at Stitcher.com or ListenerView at Blueberry.com. Partner shows include No Better Than Average with Jacob and Jeff, The Gadget Professor with Mr. Don Bain, The Pro Gear Site, written by my team at Geek News Central. All these sites are linked at the top of the page at GeekNewsCentral.com, including the New Media Show and the Podcast Legend Show. This show has the longest-running continuous sponsor of a podcast, and that's our good friends at GoDaddy.com. And I do have a little bit of a plea. It appears that we may be a little bit behind this month on total signups for GoDaddy. And if you have been sitting on the fence for a number of years or even hearing me talk about GoDaddy on a continual basis and haven't made the jump, now's the time to become a new customer at GoDaddy. Sign up for a new hosting account. Sign up for pick up a domain. And you can do and find all these deals at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Whether it be a 99-cent.com, whether it be 30% off a new product purchase, whether it be a managed WordPress hosting site or a regular hosting site, all that costs a dollar a month for the first 12 months, $12 and includes a free domain name. So definitely check all those deals out at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Everyone, welcome to the show. And I'll be honest with you. What is the deal? When is spring going to come to the East Coast? I have literally froze this week. It's been, it's the middle of April, and I had to go out and buy a sweatshirt. I mean, it's ridiculous, and I feel sorry for all of you that have had to endure basically the longest running winter, I think, in many, everyone just tell me, everyone I talk to, it's weird this year, and I will admit it is as well. But I've just been coming back to the hotel room, and for a better word, face planning. Exhausting. It just drains you. And I'll be the first to admit, I'm really not used to it anymore. And having spent 21 plus years in Hawaii, I become a bit of a spoiled baby when it comes to the weather. And it's not that I don't mind the cold weather. I just didn't pack completely. And going to the gym, that's a whole different game. I never, you know, never had to have sweats. Who has sweats in Hawaii? And here I'm like, I need sweats to and from the gym. I'm freezing. And my workouts here have not been on par. So I'm feeling a little down when it comes to the gym situation. So I'm having to be extra diligent in food consumption. So anyway, we'll just continue to see how this thing goes as I start to move around. But really, it's just been a week of meetings, lots of planning sessions with companies. It's just been busy, 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 busy. And the true insanity of my schedule really doesn't kick in until next week. So again, my things are going to get a little nuts. I have some evening meetings as well, so I'm going to try to stay ahead of it with the show. So there might be, as an example, I might do a show release on Tuesday morning instead of Monday night. It really is all going to depend on how my schedule shapes up, but nevertheless, I'll get two shows out next week for you as well. Don't see any way I'm going to not do that. But anyway, it's just going to be a little bit weird here for the next couple of weeks until I head back to Honolulu. Okay, so let me go ahead and get into the content. I do have a question for you all. How did the last show sound? How does this show sound? And what I'm recording on this trip is I'm using a Mix Pre-6 as my main recorder. And then I'm wearing a Barodynamics headset with the mic on a boom like I've used before. I know it results in a little more, I guess a better word, breathing action. It's almost impossible not for it to get too breathy. But I'll do my best here to not annoy everyone. But I want to welcome you all to the show. Thanks for being here. We'll get right into the stack. Once again, Kurt outdid himself. I know that he has found a lot of articles when the entire bar across the top on Chrome, where I can actually see a logo, and it makes it a little tricky for clicking things, but we got through everything on the last episode. We'll get through them all on this episode. And again, there's a few more Easter eggs in the show notes because I did drop some stuff out that you'll find there that you won't find in the show. Well, sadly, Southwest Airlines had a catastrophic failure of a motor on its 737. And why this was a tragedy, because we lost a mom, a woman that got partially sucked out of a window. And that's, to me, is, oh my God, completely scary in itself. And again, no word on whether she had her seatbelt on, but apparently what has happened, and I had thought initially that there may have been some containment issues with the motor. Now, when a fan in a jet motor detaches or breaks or whatever happens, it fails, the FAA is really, really, really big on these motors these days being able to be self-contained. And I think we've all maybe seen, because we've talked about some videos in the past where they, on a 777, had the motor at max power and basically detonated a fan to be detached. And essentially the containment of the motor and the shrapnel and this, you know, you think about the incredibly high RPMs that these fans are spinning at, they just become a literally a weapon. So it's critical that the engine containment systems not allow that shrapnel to get outside of the containment system and punch holes through not only wings, but the fuselage. So I was really kind of confused on what happened here. So I saw a story today that it kind of explains what has happened. When the engine blew, the cowling, the front cowling part of the motor did come off. And now that maybe is not as expected. And usually that cowling is a light aluminum. In the right circumstance, it could cause some serious flight control damage. But in this instance, it is the cowling, the transportation security folks or NTSB are saying is what caused the window to break. The cowling hit the window with such force it broke the window, which caused the depressurization of the aircraft and this poor woman being sucked halfway out the aircraft before they pulled her back in. But the blunt trauma of being pulled into the window end up causing her death, which is just incredibly sad. But at the same time, Southwest Airlines now is going to face some extreme scrutiny. They fly a little over 700 of these 737s. And last year, in 2016, there was a failure that was similar to the one that happened here a couple of days ago. There was a bulletin put out. CFM International, which is the manufacturer of the engine, issued a technical bulletin urging customers to conduct more frequent ultrasonic inspections of the fan and the type of turbofan engine used by the Southwest aircraft. Now, in 2017, CFM even asked the FAA to enact a new rule requiring those checks, but sadly, Southwest Airlines opposed the changes to the inspection frequency, stating in a comment to the FAA that it would take longer for the airline to comply because of the number of engines in its fleet. Now, they have 732 engines, so that's 300 and some aircraft. So they were said that a compliance time of 18 months was needed to schedule and complete the required ultrasonic inspections. And they said that they did not take credit for the number of fan blades already inspected in the fleet and the findings rate. Southwest Airlines requests this risk assessment be updated to make more data informed and give more mandated compliance time. Now, this is going to come back to bite Southwest in a big way here. Had there not been a fatality, the first fatality in an accident-related fatality in a U.S. airline since 2009, I think what we're going to have here is that we're going to start seeing some more scrutiny on them. And this is not going to turn out to be very healthy for Southwest in the long run here. These motors do fail. And we've seen this happen. While rare, it's pretty catastrophic when it does. The energy excluded or extruded from that is just essentially like a bomb going off. And being that the motor was still hanging on the wing and that the aircraft was still able to fly is a testament to the safety in itself. But just this freak nature of this cowling coming off, bouncing against the forward fuselage of the aircraft and then impacting a window. Just a very rare, the difference between life and death for this woman probably was very minor, and yet it happened. So, yeah, Southwest has got some trouble on their hands here, and I would expect to see some sort of grounding or expedited inspections are going to have to be undone, and Southwest is going to have no choice but to step up their game here and figure this out in a hurry. Moving on here, a Los Angeles councilman has asked the city attorney to review possible legal action against Waze. He says Waze has upended our city traffic plans, residential neighborhoods, and public safety for far too long. who said in a statement released Wednesday, their response has been inadequate and their solutions non-existent. They say the crisis of congestion they cause is the price for innovation. Now, I don't necessarily believe this. If congestion was not bad already, people would not be seeking alternative routes through cities and city streets. For many of us, we've been doing this many years before Waze even came onto the marketplace. We knew our way around neighborhoods and was able to get off exits or take side streets to avoid heavily congested main thoroughfares, which have too much traffic on them to sport them. So essentially what has happened here is that city planners have not been able to keep up with infrastructure change needed to support growing populations or have refused to curb development of new homes. And this is a big problem in Hawaii. So because they keep approving new homes to be made, the traffic continues to increase and there's no relief in sight for those that are affected by the traffic. So many of us, including me, we end up using every tool at our disposal to try to, save some time in traffic. And yes, that means going down side streets maybe that we've been going down for years. So I'm thinking here that I don't know how they can even consider suing Waze because other companies are doing this as well. Google's giving you different routes and different showing you different ways and traffic congestion indications and everything. It used to be we were all blind in the dark. We used to get in our cars and get in and we'd run into a traffic jam. Now, before I get in my car, that's the first thing I do. I check Google. I check Waze. I look at the best routes and decide which way I'm going to drive into town. So I think they just need to suck it up and figure out how to fix traffic by putting in more freeway lanes or coming up with some new innovative ways to help traffic congestion. There's a lot of articles running around today talking about Facebook. Facebook says its login data can be hijacked. And this is another issue for them to worry about. This time, again, a security research report shows that the site's user data can be taken by third-party JavaScript trackers embedded on websites using login with Facebook. According to the research, trackers are able to gather users' data, including name, email address, age range, gender, location, and profile photo, depending on what the users initially provide to the website. The scripts were found on 434 of the top 1 million websites, including Fiverr, B&H Photo, MongoDB. And basically, these sites were unaware of it, that a third-party technology was using a tracking script to collect parts of Facebook user data. And they've identified the source of the script and shut it down. MongoDatabase.com said when contacted about the report. So it's unclear what the trackers are doing with the data once it's obtained. So we'll see what happens here and see if there's any type of response from Facebook on this. But once again, Facebook users, your data is being collected. At the same time, Facebook has announced new GDPR privacy changes. So I'm kind of having to chuckle on this one a little bit because the GDPR restrictions are beyond extreme. I've explained already in a long rant on the show on how much money it's costing me to implement GDPR and become compliant with GDPR privacy laws. So Facebook's going to start pushing European users to speed through giving consent for the new GDPR privacy law compliance. And it's going to ask people to review how Facebook applies data from the web to target them with ads. But more importantly, those of us that live outside of the EU, there's going to be a new privacy or terms of service agreement for us that I'm assuming is going to be slightly different than the terms of service that is going to be presented to people within the EU. So the question really begins then, is Facebook going to collect more data on non-EU users as compared to regular EU users? But they publicly said, Zuckerberg has publicly said that the privacy laws or privacy rules are going to affect the EU on its website will be mirrored across the rest of the world. Yet they're going to be putting two terms of service in front of us, one for EU users, one for non-EU. And really the reason is, and here's the reason for it, is liability. The liability for breaches will be smaller. The number of people impacted in the EU data will not be as, so let's say we both have the same terms of service. If a breach happens in the United States or to United States users, then they wouldn't be as getting as big of a fine because U.S. privacy laws are more lax than, of course, the ones that are going to be in the EU. So we will see how this rolls out and what it looks like over the coming weeks. But I'm seeing more and more emails hitting my inbox from companies talking about GDPR or even asking me about what we as or what my company is doing as to be in compliance with GDPR. And people are freaking out in a big way, and I understand why. It's very, very complicated. All right, there's been a lot of discussion over the years, and it was fueled in part by Apple talking about, specifically in 2017, Bloomberg reported that Apple would merge its Mac and iOS software code bases, which would enable designers to create a single version of a software code that works on both platforms. And it was rumored to come as early as this year, but the tech giant CEO Tim Cook denied this, stating the merger would inevitably require diluting one operating system to make software compatible with the others. He says the compromises wouldn't be what users actually want. So he had made that remark to Peter Wells of the Sydney Morning Herald. And basically, and here's the quote, "We don't believe in sort of watering down one for the other. Both the Mac and iPad are incredible. One of the reasons that both of them are incredible is because we push them to do what they do well. And if you begin to merge the two, you begin to make trade-offs and compromises." To me, this is great news, because I thought they were going to dumb down the MacBook or the Mac operating system to make it operate on iPad. So this is good news that they're, at least at this time, not looking to merge the two code bases. Today, amazingly, Amazon announced that its Prime has hit 100 million subscribers. This is the first time that Jeff Bezos has announced the program user count. And this is big. This is a new milestone for the 13-year-old program. It came during their annual shareholders letter. He said that Amazon Prime saw its best year in 2017, shipping more than 5 billion items worldwide, with more new members signing up than any previous year. Of course, he is the world's richest man. So he said that the on-demand ad-free music streaming service expanded to more than 30 new countries. There was also a discussion somewhere about the average... what they thought the average earnings was for a Amazon user. And it was like, I think it was like $38,000, $28,000 to $38,000, I think, was the average income. I saw that someplace, but let's see if I can find that. We are talking about it in the Geek News Central Slack channel, and they linked it up. Let's see, we're talking about it here. Oh, so the median income of 20 Prime customers, and it had a median income of $28,000. And Dave, who's in our Slack channel, said he never thought he'd see Amazon share this information. Was it average pay? Oh, no. Amazon's workers' median pay was $28,446. Oh, okay. So, all right. Maybe it wasn't the average user's income. $28,000 was the median pay for an Amazon worker. That's the median, folks. That's crazy. In Seattle, Amazon's more than 45,000 employees are paid an average of more than $110,000, according to analysis of individual worker data. but the median midpoint of Amazon's 566,000 individual employee salaries worldwide stood far lower. At Amazon, dozens of logistic depots around the U.S. entry level generally starts at between $11 and $16 an hour. So this is a worldwide, average, not a U.S. average. I mean, look at this again. In a statement, Amazon said offered highly competitive wages and benefits in every country and every sector where we employ people. The pay data includes full-time and part and temporary workers. Amazon says that the vast majority of its employees are full-time. For part-time employees and those who didn't work the entire year, Amazon annualized their pay for inclusion in the data. So more than 300,000 of Amazon employees work in the United States for an average of $28,000. Huh. What do you think about that? Seems low to me that their average user, of course, if you are, depending on where you're, you know, employees in, let's say, India or some other country where the, you know, where the weight, where the cost of living is, you know, significantly lower, they could really drive down averages. But wow, 28,000. I don't know. I guess I'm gonna have to see how people react to that. I'm not sure how I'm supposed to feel about it. I'd like to see U.S. only averages. I don't want to see global. I want to see what the U.S. average is, and to get a better handle on this number. There's an app out there that could turn your phone into a lie detector. Ooh, this is interesting. So researchers are finding ways of turning your phone into this lie detector. New machine learning algorithm developed by computer scientists at the University of Copenhagen can identify honesty and dishonesty by analyzing how you swipe or tap a smartphone. Dishonest interactions often take longer and involve more hand movements than honest ones, according to research paper. They say this should not be substituted for a lie detector test, but it can get pretty accurate, about 80%, they say, about 80% accuracy. So, that's interesting that they can see if you're lying by how you type on your phone. Google Safe Browsing is now integrated into Android apps, so this is good news. This was originally announced by Google back in 2017, but basically what has changed from then and now is that Safe Browsing has been enabled by default, according to Google. Developers of Android apps using WebView no longer have to make any changes to benefit from this protection. Safe Browsing in WebView has been available since Android 8.0, using the same underlying technology as Chrome on Android. So what is Safe Browsing? Basically, if you use Chrome to browse the web, there might be an instance or two or three or four where you surf to malicious websites by accident, in which you will then be greeted with a warning screen that's informing you about it and preventing users from going further. So the same thing that you see in your browser as a site ahead that's probably not safe is going to show up on your Android phone. In a very interesting development, Bill Gates, SoftBank, and Airbus are backing a plan to live stream the Earth. It's a company called Earth Now. It's a satellite network that will let you view the whole planet in real time. They plan to put on a constellation of satellites that allow you to see any view that you want of the Earth at any time with 1 to 2 seconds of latency. We will see where this actually goes and if this actually happens. And according to the press release, each satellite is equipped with an unprecedented amount of onboard processing power, including more CPU cores than all other commercial satellites combined. Video processing and pressing is power hungry, and satellites have pretty limited power. So it'll be no mean feat figuring out how to bring all that together while keeping high quality and low latency. So Airbus is going to make the satellites in its Florida facility. So we'll see. We'll see where this goes, and maybe we'll get to see Earth live all the time. The Force is crushing it. Get 2 Star Wars drones for $99. And these are some pretty cool replicas of some quadcopters. They originally sold for about $180. Now $100 buys 2 of them. I don't know how they fly, but should be fun nonetheless. So definitely have the link up in the show notes to that. How many of you have problems with your Wi-Fi? I know that when I'm home on demanding situations, I'm always wired. But every once in a while, I'll, you know, skip out to the living room or be in the bedroom with the laptop and or on the iPad and be on Wi-Fi. And sometimes the Wi-Fi doesn't act completely right. And I've had all kinds of challenges before on Wi-Fi. But they get there's the folks over at MakeUseOf.com have a series of tests, things that you should do and things you shouldn't do when testing your Wi-Fi. Talks about the time of day, about where in the house you are when you test it. Talks about not having other devices running, and you know, a whole variety of things that you should look out for when you're testing your Wi-Fi that could slow your results down. So definitely check this article out if you want to test your Wi-Fi. Terms of service. Every company has one. We have one at Raw Voice Blueberry. And yes, it can, at times can be, you know, to muddle through them is almost needs a lawyer to read them. But there's a new site out there that's starting to rate terms of service. It's called Terms of Service Didn't Read. And what they do is they analyze terms of service and give them an A, B, C, D, E, or F rating and tell you what they like about the terms of service or what they don't like. They talk about copyright. They talk about how they use your data. So lots of information that you may not read otherwise is available from this site. And they have a lot of the popular sites already analyzed. So I'll have the link up to the article on that. And you can check out the sites you use, give an A or an F when it comes to terms of service. I'm a big Kindle Unlimited user. I have Kindle on my iPad. And at Amazon, I subscribe to Kindle Unlimited. And I'm going to be honest with you. Best deal going. You can have 10 books checked out at once. And it's really, there's very few times that I find, I don't find a book that isn't available via Kindle Unlimited. I think there's about 1 million books available. And what happens is, and I was talking to an author that participates in Kindle Unlimited, and he loves it too, because they get paid based on the number of pages you read. So if the book is really good, and you go all the way through and read the whole book, then they earn more than if you had got to page 10 or 20 and stopped. So it rewards those authors that have good books with payments, and those that don't, they still earn a little bit of money, but not as much as they would if you were reading the whole thing. But I'm a big, big fan of Kindle Unlimited, and typically have 6 or 7 books checked out at one time. There's a very cool video over in CNET that talks about Emily Clark. She tried to spoil the Game of Thrones final season. And this is fantastic. You can tour the Game of Thrones sets with Emily Clark. Of course, she is a better known as the dragon, or she's Darnius is who she is. And she's what is the mother of dragons. And this is a very fun clip. I don't think you're going to learn too much about the final of Game of Thrones, but they've done a nice job in this promotional video, and I'll have the link up in the show notes for you to check out. All right, how to track your workouts with your Apple Watch. I got a little bit out of this. There's some initial setup you have to do, whether you're walking or jogging and or different activities, and have to add different devices. Does a pretty good job in tracking. I still have a little challenges with some of the actual workout gear stuff, but it does a good job tracking you and telling you how much you've done. You can set goals when you reach the goals, and you can get a. Then you can look on the on your iPhone to actually see your totals and where you're at for the month. I really do like it a lot. What health and fitness apps are you guys using? Love to hear from you. Geeknews@gmail.com. The Verge has an article. If you want to know how we ended up in a cyber dystopia, Ready Player One. This is, I'm just going to tell you that Ready Player One is, the movie was okay. The book was fantastic. And if you haven't taken the time to read Ready Player One And if you are an 80s or 90s child, you're going to get a lot of the references. For those of you that were born in the 2000s, if you're here listening to this show, it's a good trip down history lane, and you'll have a lot of fun with it. So if you went to see the movie, read the book. Much better. Also, for those of you that Mac users out there, are you using virus protection? Well, I hope you are. If you're not, I've got an article for you tonight that gives you some suggestions of some stuff that they should that you should check out. So a link will be up in the show notes for you. Top Apple Insider says that this year's iPhone 10 successor will start at just $550. That would blow me away if they're doing that. $550 seems awful, awful low. But Ming-Chi Kuo from KGI Security is one of the most accurate Apple Insiders out there. And this is what he says. The analyst says that Apple will have three iPhone models in stores this year, including 6.1-inch LCD model and two OLED versions with 5.8 and 6.5-inch screens. Some of these versions will come with dual standby DSDS powers, including 6.1-inch versions, but not all of them the 6.5-inch plus model. The 6.1-inch single SIM iPhone 10 version is going to be the cheapest model. And so anyway, he's quoted in here, but $550, that would be pretty doggone aggressive. For those of you that are Android users out there, lots of security issues happening in the Android space as well. I got an article from Computer World, 9 Android settings to strengthen your security. Definitely check that out. Link will be up in the show notes. You know, I been hearing lots of stuff on Twitter, on Facebook, in the news. We know that the FOSTA, F-O-S-T-A, Act that was put in place by Congress and signed by the president was used as the genesis for seizing the Backpage website, which was accused, their users or their owners have been accused of facilitating traffic in persons. So, and I've been seeing just in the normal news stream a variety of articles talking about other sites that have been pulling down. And, of course, Craigslist had taken action already, getting rid of its personals. But it appears that, as always, the ladies of the evening, or however we want to refer to these, how to make a reference to them, are one step ahead at all times. And according to The Verge, around 3 o'clock today, a social media space for sex workers went offline. It appears were, however, temporary. It indicated the FOSTA-driven loss of yet another haven for these folks, this time in form of a content distribution network, Cloudflare. According to Twitter, and this is the name of the site that was taken down, the company received an email from Cloudflare's legal department indicating that it would be terminating its service due to terms of service violations. Now, Cloudflare has been really careful about who it bans from its platform. Of course, one of the most high-profile ban was the notorious neo-Nazi site, The Daily Stormer. So I had heard about a social site in the past. Matter of fact, it's used by a lot of people out there. It's called Mastodon, M-A-S-T-O-D-O-N. And Mastodon is a decentralized social place where people can chat. And there's, as near as I can tell, and I hadn't been on Mastodon before, I've just heard about it. So I went over to Mastodon to take a look. It just basically kind of get an idea. And it's basically just a big, it's like a chat room almost. And they had lots of different topics. There's lots of Mastodon channels per se. This one is basically where the sex workers have retreated to. And I think this is like their last, you know, I'm sure if this gets shut down, there'll be more places they're going to move to. But this FOSTA, this FOSTA lawsuit is really causing an impact across the space. and basically getting a lot of these sites removed. So we'll see where this one goes. But it was just curious to see this in the news feed today, that basically they have found a workarounds, at least temporarily, to advertising their services, I guess. If I get a chance, and I might be able to do this on Saturday, is that the original Bullet Mustang is on the mall in D.C. And if you're a fan of Steve McQueen and the 1968 film Bullet, the Highland Green Machine, the 1968 Ford Mustang, is in the mall being displayed. And it's, I guess it's right across from, where's that, from one of the Smithsonian museums. And it's, I guess it's close to the Lincoln Memorial, too? Okay, well, anyway, it's on the mall in Washington, D.C. Should be cool to go down and excuse me, and check it out. So it'll be there until April 23rd for those of you within striking distance. Apple today has debuted its new iPhone recycling robot, Daisy, and talks about some things they're doing as a part of its Earth Day participation this coming Sunday. They basically are doing some donations, but to some organizations. But I think the most cool thing is watching this video and watch it take apart a iPhone. And it can take apart 7 different types of iPhones at this time, but it breaks it down into different pieces so that it can be recycled. It's pretty cool. Pretty cool video. 2 minutes and 40 seconds. Also, over on govtech.com, there's a video of a robot that basically is assembling some IKEA furniture. Now, if any of you have ever had to assemble any type of furniture, you will know what type of frustration can be generated from doing that type of activity, especially if you put the wrong leg on one place and have to tear stuff apart and been there, done that. So the robots only took 9 minutes to assemble it, but they spent the other 11, the first 11, plotting on how they would proceed with the chair assembly. Now, I don't know what type of programming went into this, but this was developed by a research firm at Nanyang Technological University in Singapore. So what I found fascinating about this is the potential here. These two robots use some sort of programming to figure out how to assemble the chair the most efficient way. And then they were able to accomplish it, make it happen. Now, think about that for a second, that they were actually, and again, I don't know the coding that went into this assembly. There had to be some pre-coding here. But for them to get this figured out and using 3D cameras to figure out how to assemble this chair is pretty impressive. Now, if you think about applications here, well, what about nuclear cleanup and that type of stuff? If the robots can be trained to do cleanup, they can go places where humans can't and do cleanup that would not be possible otherwise. So there are many industries where these skills, of course, it would be useful. Again, logistics or packing for e-commerce companies, you name it. So, but I'm thinking much deeper than, but we'll see. See where this leads. Facebook is testing premieres for live broadcasts. In other words, if you're going to have a product announcement, product rollout, you basically can upload a pre-recorded video as a Facebook Live moment, and it basically gets you set up so that you can do a full announcement of something. And so it's that you can pre-upload stuff to build hype, and then when you go live, the pre-recorded video disappears, and then you're live on the same page. So I think this is a pretty cool feature. Look forward to test it out. I don't know if any of you are TaskRabbit users or not, but TaskRabbit has returned following a data breach that it basically says they've got had some major issues. Handyman for Hire app basically was the target of this breach. And they basically, preliminary evidence says that unauthorized users gain access to our system. As a result, certain personal identifiable information may have been compromised. All users of the IKEA-owned service have been advised to change their passwords and monitor accounts for unusual activity. He says, this is not the last time you hear from us. No, the company has been working around the clock to rectify the issue. The company now has plans to reassess its security protocols and enhance its network's threat detecting technology. Of course they will. It's pretty scary when this type of stuff happens. Amazon has launched its internet lightweight Android browser. So basically, all smartphones come with browsers built into them. You know, with Google, there's Chrome, and with Apple, there's Safari. But at the same time, there are plenty of third-party options out there. For those who don't mind exploring a bit, there is Firefox, Opera, Edge, and so on. So again, Amazon has launched its own lightweight Android browser. So I'm sure it'll be optimized for Android for sure. But I mean, for Amazon, but I'm sure it'll be a little bit of a marketing ploy by the folks at Amazon as well. Okay. There's an article on The Verge talking about iPhone notifications. And I'll be honest with you, I have to start going through every once in a while and turning off apps that give me notifications. It gets a little crazy, and the folks at The Verge agree, and they've got some tips here and some comments on what they'd like to see change in the iPhone as it relates to notifications. I don't know how many of you use Airbnb, but Airbnb is used a lot by folks surrounding big events, concerts. Matter of fact, in Baltimore this weekend, there's a big a concert going on and not a lot of rooms available in the Baltimore area. So a lot of folks are looking at Airbnb for alternative lodging close. But they've introduced something that's called New Maps. It helps you find a room during big events. So the Airbnb for events lets organizers create interactive maps of accommodation listings close to the venues, then embed them into the event website, much as you would see like a custom Google map. And this could be handy for, say, planning weddings in a place where hotels are sparse or for conventions. So very, very cool option here to keep you close to the venue and show you what's available. Amazon has got a new, keyword blueprint. I didn't want to trip anyone's Amazon device. But this new blueprint site allows anyone to create a custom Alexa skill and responses. Oh, I just did it. I'm sorry. So I will be looking at this site a lot because you can make your own skill. So it could be include helpful information for the babysitter. It could be blueprints that allow you to, it basically allows you to do personalized skills. I want to see if I can teach you folks how to build a skill in this site called Blueprint to basically make a custom skill to listen to the show. So you can go to blueprints.amazon.com. If someone has some time, they can do that. But definitely check it out. I think this is pretty exciting stuff. So a link will be up in the show notes for you. All right, Qualcomm is going to be laying off 1,500 workers to cut expenses. So it looks like they got to cut about $1 billion. And in cost. So 1,500 folks are going to get laid off. And this action comes after the hostile takeover bid. And Qualcomm pledged that it would cut costs in order to improve earnings. But we know, of course, shareholders were more interested in Broadcom's offer. However, the president intervened. So now Qualcomm must take steps to improve its earnings and get its stock prices back up where it needs to be. Whole Foods reward program is being folded into Amazon Prime. So if any of you shop at Whole Foods and been using their reward program, it's being combined. Expect an email on that. The folks over at Nest are donating 1 million thermostats to help U.S. families save energy. So I don't know how are they going to qualify people. Ahead of Earth Day this weekend, Nest is announcing an ambitious project to donate 1 million smart thermostats over the next 5 years. We know that the burden of energy cost in America is disproportionately high for those least able to afford it. Families are spending more than 20% of their income on home energy. Not in Hawaii, but it's a lot. Sometimes as much as 50%. This impacts 22 million children. We're committed to addressing this issue. So there are 35 million households that struggle to pay their energy bill. They're working with Habitat for Humanity, And Nest is providing thermostat units to the long-running organization that builds affordable housing. So it looks like they're going to be donating a bunch as well. And so anyway, very, very cool. I'm sure we'll hear more details on this. But if you know a family in need, this might be a way to get them hooked up with a smart thermostat to help them with their electricity bill. Switching gears completely here, Politico web ads in New York will now have to reveal who paid for them. So we know that these online ads have come underneath the microscope heavily. So the governor signed a bill that mandated online political ads in New York election disclose who is footing the bill. This new law is a response to Russia's misinformation campaign, of course, and others. So instead, it's going to be pack so-and-so, pack so-and-so. Lyft promises to make all rides carbon neutral. It will spend millions of dollars on carbon offsets during the first year of the program. I'm sorry. This carbon offset thing, okay. I guess I just don't fully get it. But that's what they're going to do. It's all about saving Mother Earth and carbon offsets. I'd love to hear your guys' opinion about carbon offsets and companies buying carbon offsets. Do you believe in it? Do you think it's hokey? Do you think it's really helping? You're still putting the carbon in the air, right? But, Netflix is considered buying theaters, including Mark Cuban's Landmark, to gain an Oscar edge. So, looks like they're shopping around here. And they're exploring the idea of buying movie theaters in Los Angeles and New York that would enable it to screen a growing pipeline of feature films and documentaries. So, okay, very, very cool. Why don't you just buy some land and build your own? Might be cheaper. Although no cinema deal has materialized, the idea of Netflix buying a theater chain would mark a new phase in the company's rapid ascent to become one of the most powerful players. I don't want to go to the movies for Amazon. I'm watching it right here in my hotel room with my own remote control. 8 months after the Equifax mega hack, some British citizens are only just now being notified. What is the deal? 15 million Brits were affected by the Equifax mega hack, and they are now just receiving letters notifying that they were affected by the breach 8 months after the event. What? I'm serious. This is just ridiculous. Ridiculous. It's taken this long. People are pissed. They're just getting a notification. Again, a company should not be allowed to exist as a business anymore. If you're an aspiring coder, Google's Grasshopper app teaches you how to code. You can learn how to program in JavaScript, no experience required. This is pretty cool. They've developed this app to help people learn how to code. It's free in the Google Play Store. It works in puzzles to make learning fun. And of course, JavaScript's a leading language used on many websites. And it's already hit 100,000 installs in 3 days. It's been online. Most of the 1,600 reviews are positive. Android users can find the app in the Play Store, while iOS users can get it in the Apple Store. So Grasshopper is the name. Give it a run. The Yahoo webmail hacker, this is from Canada, he helped Russian agents breaking into more than 11,000 Yahoo email accounts, is being recommended for an 8-year jail sentence. The case against Karim Bartov entered its sentencing phase this week as both sides submitted to a California federal district judge their proposals for how long the hacker will remain in jail. Again, he was convicted last year in 1 count of conspiracy to commit computer fraud and 8 counts of aggravated identity theft. So this Canadian citizen, I guess, who has been extradited and sentenced or convicted here in the U.S., is going to be looking to spend some time behind bars. So we'll see what the time they'll actually give him. Verizon has added location tracking to its parental control app. The new redesigned app has a new name and a new look. It's basically It was known as Family Base, will now be called Verizon Smart Family, and it lets parents set content filters, manage screen times, pause internet access, check the battery status of their kids' phones, and get a summary of the children's call and text history. Among the new tools are the ability to deblock certain apps and location tracking, which can provide alerts when a child enters a predetermined area, like when they come home or get to a school. Apple announced earlier this year it would soon introduce tools that would give parents the same type of controls over their kids' phone usage as well. A basic Verizon Smart Family subscription costs $5 a month. That should be free. Should be free. It should come as part of any service, any phone service, to be honest with you. MoviePass, boy. MoviePass parents company shares have been crushed after disclosing price of a stock sale. Shares of Helios and Madison Analytics, the majority owner of MoviePass, plummeted more than 40% in early trading after it announced the pricing of a $30 million public share offering. They own 92% of the MoviePass upstart, sold 30 million shares at $2.75, 28% below Wednesday stock closing price of $3.83. You know why they do this? I hate this. I really hate companies that do this. They'll go out and they'll sell $30 million worth of shares at this reduced price. The company who buys those stocks immediately sells them and makes a huge profit, instant profit, on writing a check for $30 million. It's or whatever the total amount was. It 30 million shares at 275. So they, you know, do the math at 60, 70 some million dollars. It just, 70, I guess it would be $74 million. And the shareholders get screwed in these types of transactions. And of course, following these types of events, the independent auditor has raised substantial debt about MoviePass' ability to continue operating as a going concern. That's usually a kiss of death. And they report a loss of $150.8 million in 2017, which attributed to its acquisition of MoviePass in 2017 on revenue of $10.4 million. And it's just ridiculous. I mean, simply ridiculous. NASA has a new administrator. The Senate just confirmed Jim Bridenstine for the NASA's top job. He was an Oklahoma Republican representative, and so he's a vocal proponent of privatization of space. And so anyway, now some 16 months into the president's time in the White House, we finally have a Senate confirmation. Part of these Senate confirmations is because the Democrats have slow rolled every nomination. These super popular IOD, I'm not familiar with this company, and Kirk has got me. Amazon currently has a bunch of the popular IOD car mods on sale for as low $99.99. You'll find that link in the show notes tonight. Also, if you're looking for a cordless vacuum, Black & Decker has one that's on sale for $45. I have that link in the show notes. And there's some Android phones. If you're looking for a burner phone or a phone that you just want to buy for a kid that you're not worried about getting broke, there's a list of phones that are available for $100. It includes the Nokia 2, the Samsung Galaxy J3 Mission, the LG X Charge, number of them here, Moto E4. These are all Android phones available under $100. Also, USB-C ports are very limited on most computers. You can turn a single USB-C port into three USB ports and an Ethernet with this $20 adapter. This one is from, who's this one from? It's an Amazon Basic hub. I like, be honest with you, the one I'm using that I like right now for USB-C is one from a company called Quackcock, Q-A-C-Q-O-C. So it has on it one USB-C, one Ethernet, three USB, one HDMI, and a SD card reader. And I really love this one. I like it, and it's It's made in China, but it's from QACQOC, and I found it on Amazon. So this one's definitely cheaper. It's $24, so definitely compare the two when you're over there, all right? Also, a cool video of a robot bending pipe cleaners into hearts and stars. So nice little trick done here, and it talks about how they built this. So pretty little slick video. Maybe something those of you out there that are doing it yourself can check it out. All right, that's going to be it. That's going to wrap me up here today. Quick, fast, a little too fast maybe on the show tonight. I bounced through everything real quick. But I want to thank everyone for checking the show out and for being subscribed. If you have comments on today's show, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, definitely drop me an email and let me know what you think of the show, how we're doing. And any comments on the con tonight is greatly appreciated. I'll be back with you next Monday for another program. Everyone take care. Of course, I'll be on the new media show on Saturday starting at 12 Eastern. Keep an eye on the newmediashow.com. A website. We're going to be on Spreaker Live, I think, that day. All right, everyone, thanks. We'll see you next time here on the Geek News Central podcast. Everyone, take care. Bye-bye.